Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. Welcome in to Focus with Relentless Positive Radio. And the team, Mike Parsons, our executive producer, Danielle Mason running the switches, the queen of the switches, and Rich Luzinski keeping track of our WJR traffic and weather first. May I be of the first to say good afternoon to you, and if people have followed the rules, may I be of the first to tell you a bit of embargoed good news that was not supposed to be talked about until noon. And since it is now 5 minutes after noon, I can tell you, Mackinac Island has been named the number one best summer travel destination in the 2026 USA Today 10 Best Reader's Choice Travel Award Contest for the fourth year in a row. Wow.
We should broadcast from there next week.
Why don't we do that? Let's just spontaneously make the decision to broadcast from Mackinac Island next week. And while we're there celebrating that they're the number one best summer travel destination fourth year in a row, why don't we cover Sandy Baru Ah's Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference? I mean, we're there. Why not just do that?
Sure. Let me make some phone calls. We'll make it happen.
I know you can make it happen. You're the whiz. I know you can make it happen. All right. So I just wanted to get that out there close to noon because, well, it was embargoed till noon. And I may be one of the very few that ever keep track of the embargoes. And a lot of times people tell me something, say, please don't say anything. And then it's on the front page the next day. And I go, well, I have to live with myself. At least I did what they asked me to do. I'll never regret that. Well, sometimes I regret it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to take people's trust seriously. I don't know what the consequences are for reporting embargo news, but it's a lot harder to lose someone's trust than gain their trust.
That's absolutely right. And I've tried to keep people's trust for over 50 years. A character, it's all I have. That's why I say when I do a commercial, it's because I know the company or I've experienced the company. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying many of these things. But that's another story. The story that caught my attention, and we never have talked about it, is the young woman who's been fired from a Massachusetts McDonald's over a viral video. In fact, she's facing criminal charges that she actually is shown on the video stuffing French fries in her mouth. And you may say, well, okay, kids are kids. She's stuffing French fries in her mouth. I don't know. I have to see how many she could put in there. I'm not sure. But then it shows her putting them back into the container and putting it back in to be served to somebody. Can you imagine? I got to tell you, not anyone else had this. I had a quote from somebody at that McDonald's that might have gotten those fries. They said, wow, these fries are actually warm today.
Not as crispy.
You didn't know where I was going with that. I was afraid you were going to walk all over me while I had to get to that.
Yeah, well, I heard you setting up something, so I knew to lay back.
That's why you're a good boy. That's why you're good at what you do.
I'm learning.
Did you get a haircut? Wait a second. Did you get a haircut?
Yeah, like last weekend. You just noticed now.
It's like you have an elongated, what they used to call widow's peak.
Yeah, it's kind of like vampiric.
Well, is that a word, vampiric, like from a vampire?
I think so.
It is vampiric.
I had to get this under control, especially now that we're going to Mackinac next week.
I got to get a haircut. I'm seeing Ginny, haircutter to the stars, this afternoon after the show. I'm going to go see her. And she's been cutting my hair for a very long time. Schlitz beer. When you're out of Schlitz, you're out of beer. Well, you're about to be out of beer. Up Schlitz Creek, right. Well, this was once America's largest brewery, and they're going to be brewed for the last time by Wisconsin Brewing Company on May 23rd. Made to the 1948 original specifications. It'll be available for pre-order May 23rd and available June 27th. I don't know. I don't remember. I remember Schlitz beer. I'm not a big beer drinker, so it was. I'm not losing a beer. I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know Schlitz beer was still around. I thought it went out with Stroh's and all those other kind of old school bargain beers.
Yeah. Stroh's makes me think of my dad because that's the fire brewed for flavor. That's the Stroh's beer. That was his beer when I was growing up. And I was thinking of that earlier because I've been watching our President Trump, who is at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London, Connecticut, doing his second commencement speech for the Coast Guard kids. And that my dad was in the Coast Guard as well. So and now there's two things that have made me think of dad. Kraft Heinz, which I forgot are together now, the Heinz ketchup and the Kraft, you know, they're one company now, have launched Jell-O Simply, a new line of gelatin and pudding desserts made without FD&C colors or artificial sweeteners. Hey, you know, what took them so long? That should have been done a long time ago. We've known the problem with the fake colors and the fake sweeteners. We've been railing about it for years.
Yeah, so I wonder if the Jell-O is going to be clear, like crystal Jell-O.
I don't know. Is there a crystal Jell-O?
No, it just makes me think of Crystal Pepsi. But if there's no artificial flavors, I wonder what color they're going to be.
Well, whatever, you know, we got hoodwinked into thinking certain things had to be certain colors. We also got hoodwinked into thinking that everything had to be sweet.
Right.
And it doesn't need to be. Jackson
Pollock.
I'm
sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was at Meijer yesterday, and they have the new Doritos and Cheetos out. I think they're called Cheetos Naked because it's the Cheetos and the Doritos without the dyes in them. So it's like the Cheetos, they're like beige.
Well, you know, that's great because I for one couldn't stand how orange your fingers would get eating Cheetos. And then you touch something, go, why is that orange? Oh, my God, my hands are covered. What a mess those were to eat, and it wasn't good stuff anyway. I can't hear you anymore. I can see you, but I can't hear you. That's very bizarre. And I'm not a good lip reader. Danielle?
Hi, sorry. My dad's on the phone calling about my air conditioner.
Oh, I'm all right. Well, I don't want to get in the way of that, but can you hear Mike anymore? Because I can't.
No, I cannot.
We'll call you if we need you.
I don't hear him. Anyway, okay. What I was going to say about Jackson Pollock's painting, which is black random drips, dribbles, and touches of red splatters, which I think you and I could do, but we aren't named Jackson Pollock. So with this painting, which is black random drips, dribbles, and touches of red splatters, sold for $181.2 million at a New York auction. That means somebody's going to have this ridiculous painting hanging on the wall. And I just imagine, look, you can do whatever you want. You make a lot of money, you make it fairly. If you didn't steal it, you can do what you want. But how can I not wonder how much better that money could be spent on other things? $181 million. Anyway, all right. Today is National Rescue Dog Day. And, Mike, you should relate to this totally because you took your dog to the vet and picked your dog up from the vet already.
Yes, hopefully you guys can hear me now. Can you hear me now?
I can, yeah. What happened?
Yeah. I'm working from home and there's gremlins because I had to take my gremlin to the vet.
Your little puppy to the vet, but everything, generally speaking, is okay.
Yeah, so they thought it might be something serious. She's got some kidney stones, which we're going to work through, and in an irritable bowel. But they said it could have been anywhere up to, from an irritable bowel to lymphoma. And it's not lymphoma, so...
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, today is National Rescue Dog Day. And rescue dogs they're talking about, and those are wonderful. Very quickly, because I've carried this around too long, and I just don't want to keep carrying it around. It's the baby names topping the Michigan lists in 2025. For girls, Charlotte, Amelia, Sophia, Eleanor, Evelyn, Olivia, Violet, Emma, Laney, and Harper. Those are the top 10. For For boys, the top 10 are Theodore, Noah, Oliver, Henry, James, Jack, Hudson, Liam, Levi, and Elijah. You know, I have not seen a Mike or a Paul on a baby's name list for years.
Yeah, I mean, Mike was on the list every year from like the mid-70s to the late 90s. I think people just got sick of naming their kids Mike.
And then I don't see a Danielle, and I don't know the last time there was a Danielle. So you might be an original and the one and only Danielle.
I hope so.
Well, I think you are. Oh. I think we've just decided.
Okay,
you
thanks.
Are. You're welcome. We're underway. It is Wednesday, middle of the week, Relentless Positive Radio. You can stream us, podcast us at WJR.com, do the free WJR app. Facebook and YouTube pages are video streaming us live right now and for the whole show. So I hope you can be here with us as we continue In Focus with Paul W. J.R. Well, there's lots to talk about today, that is for sure. And lots going on in the power of President Trump in these elections. He's batting 100, it looks like, or is that 1,000? Well, either way. I'll find out from the distinguished professor, political science department, director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, Professor David Duilio. Professor, always a pleasure.
Pleasure's mine, Paul W.
What we have, I don't look carefully at all of these other than what comes up in the news, but that Congressman Thomas Massey, one of President Trump's most vocal critics on the Republican side, has been primaried, which is a great term. It showed him that it probably was not the smartest way to be running. Senator Bill Kennedy, another Republican Trump opponent, who was primaried because he helped to vote to President Trump's war powers. So it appears that anybody on the Republican side who dares to speak out against the president is in trouble.
It certainly would appear that way. And it seems like each passing primary, either it in the 2026 cycle or, frankly, in past cycles, is more evidence that Trump has this tremendous power in the Republican Party. He is the undisputed leader of the party. But if somebody crosses him, like Thomas Massey did, or Senator Cassidy, or even, you know, in our own state, a couple cycles ago, former Congressman Peter Meyer, you go against the president and he comes back at you and it can cost you your seat.
You know, it's funny, and this is meaning no disrespect to the president. This is just an observation. I honestly thought that his power was not as strong. It just seems to be getting stronger, though.
Well, I think you make a good point, and we have to be careful here to
Well, people take it the wrong way if you and I say anything. Well, why are you against the president? I'm not against the president. I'm making an observation. That's what I do for a living. And my observation was, and it's unfortunately because of the lamestream media, they would have led you to believe that he was losing power.
Well, he's losing influence with independents, right? He has still got a great influence within the Republican base. His base has been with him from the beginning and will be with him until the end. He is struggling with those middle of the road voters who are looking at things like gas prices.
Well, as I take a slurp of coffee here, I got to tell you, we're now being led to believe by the institutional media that power with Republicans doesn't matter. It's the trouble he's in with the independents. He needs the independents. Well, I think whatever he does have, they're going to complain and say that that's not that important. Here's what he doesn't have.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, right? I mean, I think that we see that coming through in some other polling numbers. I think you might find these interesting. Paul W., I saw the other day that CBS did a survey recently where they asked Democratic primary voters what they wanted a congressional candidate to do. And I think it was over two-thirds of Democratic primary voters said, I want my candidate to oppose everything that President Trump does. So it's not that there's no discernment. It is, if Trump says it, it's bad.
And that is where we are, and we see that, and that's how they've come up very effectively with the Trump derangement syndrome, because it really is wrong. Like, I remember a psychiatrist once saying, you know, if you go to a psychiatrist and you want to talk about your partner, and you have all these things wrong with your partner, and you don't fess up to any problem that you might have, the psychiatrist said, well, that means you're the problem. And that's exactly what the Democrats are doing right now. They are going all one-sided. They can't bring themselves to stand up and cheer on anything that he says, on even the simplest, most obvious things they should be cheering about and backing him on. They can't bring themselves to do it.
Well, and we've seen that over time, right? I mean, you think back to State of the Union addresses passed and, you know, even as to your point, right, the most commonsensical, the most, you know, patriotic, that thing that everybody could agree on, and he still gets no credit.
You know, it's interesting. We're on the phone with the distinguished professor, political science department, director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, Professor David Duilio. When I first heard this latest thing where he wants to settle, drop his $10 billion suit against the IRS by coming up with a slush fund or a fund to compensate people who have been wronged by the government, and then you get into the weeds a little bit and you find out that this is going to hold himself and his family members harmless seemingly forever. And I thought, well, wait a minute, how do you do that? How does that make sense? And then I started thinking, he knows the moment he's out of office that the Democrat Party is going to spend as much time and money as they can trying to convict him of everything. And they will do the same thing with his children. So you almost understand why he came up with that, because their history, their past with him indicates this is exactly what they'll do to him and his family in the future.
Well, I would just add that, you know, that's through the court system. If Democrats are successful in gaining control of the House of Representatives or the U.S. Senate this fall, politically, it's going to be even before he leaves office. They're going to do all sorts of oversight and investigation. And it's going to be a tough 2 years for President Trump if that occurs.
Well, I would just ask the American people to take a look and say, do you want things to get done, or do you want to have theater in Washington and just watch these guys who we are paying to do work for us and make our lives better and our country stronger and better? Do we want the theater that they apparently will choose over getting things done? I guess that's the big question. Distinguished professor, political science department, director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University, Professor David Duilio, always a pleasure to have you on board.
Thank you, Paul W.
Thank you, sir. We continue in Focus on WJR at 12:29. So happy to have you here or streaming us or coming back and podcasting us at WJR.com. It means a lot to us. And I do hope you have the free WJR app, and you know that Facebook and YouTube pages are video streaming the show live as we are live. Relentless positive radio is what we try to do. Not easy with the times. There are a lot of things going on, the worst of which was underscored when the two teenagers shot and killed three people in an attack on a California mosque. Apparently radicalized online. I don't know why that the bad side is winning in the radicalization of kids rather than the good side. Maybe we don't send out enough good news. I don't know. These two dead teenagers, apparently in their writings obtained by the Associated Press, include hateful rhetoric toward Jewish people, Muslims, and Islam. The LGBTQ plus community, black people, women, and both the political left and right. I did hear early on that they didn't like Donald Trump, but that doesn't play in the way the media likes to play these things, so I don't see it in any of these other stories. I'll just have to assume it was true before they scrubbed it. The publisher of the Arab American News is here with a heavy heart, Osama Ziblani. We don't talk to you enough, but we do talk to you, and we always look forward to our conversations and appreciate your ability to communicate to us what's going on. Luckily, you don't have to do this kind of a conversation very often. Osama, nice to have you back.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the introduction. I appreciate what you said. I think you summed it up very well.
Well,
we have a major problem in our country. And this problem is getting bigger and bigger and more dangerous by the day. Social media is fueling it, of course. And those people who are racist, they are pouring, gasoline on the fire. And it's spreading all over. I mean, like the week before, we had Jake Lang coming from Florida to burn the Quran in front of the Islamic Center of America. And that's what happened like in 2011 when Terry Jones came to do the same. So this has been really growing. And after that, we wrote a story, on our website and in the newspaper about the burning of the Quran in Dearborn and the attempt to do it in Hamtramck. We published it last Friday. And if Saturday morning, we received some comments on the story. And one of the comments was, let's continue to burn the unholy Quran and start burning mosques in America. That's one of the comments. And then, I gave it to the Dearborn police. And Dearborn police, immediately acted on it. And the young man who wrote it he's living in Southgate. And they went to his house. And I'm going to leave it right here because I think it's in the hands right now of the Dearborn police and the state police. But
Osama,
following that's Saturday. Monday we've had the sad episode in San Diego. So and in between there are many attempts and attacks on mosques that we have published in the last couple of months across the country.
Why are we losing the war with these radicalized youth? I mean, somebody is working hard to radicalize them. Are we, as a people, as a government, working as hard to either, I don't know the word, unradicalize them or get them to understand that they're blessed to live in a great country, that it's stupid to want to be a white supremacist or a Nazi? How is it we're not able to get that point across to these guys? Why is it that in social media?
Unfortunately. It's not only in our country. Radicalization is spreading in the world. And even in our home ancestors, in Lebanon and other areas in the region, in Europe, there is a lot of radicalization that has been promoted and pitting people against each other. When this man that went from Dearborn Heights to Temple Israel and tried to do harm for the Jewish community there and the Jewish children, we as an Arab American community and a Muslim community, we condemned it in strongest terms. And we, all public officials came out and said, this is not acceptable, and they condemned it. And I was probably one of the first people in the state to condemn it in the strongest terms. And I said, we wanted to live together here, Muslims, Christians, Jews, atheists, anybody who wants to live, they're free to do whatever they want to do, to worship the way they want to worship, as long as we do it in a civilized way. And the problem is that in this incident, when the Jake Lang came here from Florida to burn the Quran and spread hatred and warmongering in Dearborn and in Hamtramck, we did not see one political official, one official in the state of Michigan, from the governor down to the, to the Senate, to the House, any condemnation of this. Our leaders should step up to the platform of telling Americans that this is not acceptable. That's what leadership is all about. And I don't think that we see this kind of leadership right now, unfortunately. And that is a major problem.
It is a major problem. We need to continue to talk amongst each other and ourselves and understand we are all in this together. The same Absolutely. People are all in this together. You said it so well, Osama Sablani. Christian, Jew, Islam, whatever it is.
Well, whatever, atheist, people who do not want to believe. If we disagree, actually, you know what? I mean, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, they preach the same thing. Love your neighbors, help the poor, see someone who is in need and go out and help them, you know. Be friendly to your neighbors. Doesn't really matter if he believes in the same religion that you believe in or not. It's a human being like you. You know, and he deserves the attention, he deserves the love, and he deserves the help if he needs it. And that is what all religion, Abrahamic religion, preached the same thing. So I don't understand the rise in anti-Semitism, the rise in Islamophobia, the hatred. The country that I came in 1976, you know, here, it's not the same country I'm living in, and I'm very concerned about what's happening.
Well, you're not alone, Osama, and we'll stay close and keep talking. What we've all learned very clearly is hate knows no boundaries. But why is there so much hate? Why is there so much anger out there? Why is it seemingly easy to radicalize these young people through social media? We need to get to the bottom of that. That's got to be job number one.
Misinformation.
Misinformation, indeed, but no one speaks up and says it's misinformation.
And they pit us against each other.
Right. Hey, how do we subscribe to the Arab American News? Are you there?
Yes, hello? You can go in. Hello?
Okay, I thought I lost you.
I'm with you.
Okay.
ArabAmericanNews.com.
Easy enough. ArabAmericanNews.com. Osama Sablani, we've been your friend for years, and we continue to be, and sorry that you've gone through this. We see the Islamophobia, we see the anti-Semitic work, we see so much, and we're trying to get through it all together. Thank you for your help, Osama.
Thank you for hosting. Thank you.
All right. We continue in Focus at WJR at 12:46. A proposed data center development in Macomb County is off the table for now, much to the relief of area residents. WJR's Marie Osborne has the very latest. Good afternoon, Marie.
Hello, Paul. The San Francisco-based real estate firm has pulled its rezoning request for more than 300 acres in Washington Township, ending, at least for now, a plan that has drawn some pretty heavy community opposition. Township leaders say the move clears the item from next month's agenda, while the developer signals it might revisit the project once local zoning rules are updated. Residents have pushed back against this plan. They say the fight isn't over. They've renewed calls for a temporary ban on new data center proposals as officials study possible ordinance changes. Township leaders say that the review is already underway with public input expected before any decisions are finalized. Meanwhile, similar concerns are surfacing in Washtenaw County. Leaders in Ypsilanti are backing a one-year plan to halt new water and sewer connections for large-scale computing facilities. At the heart of that is a University of Michigan and Los Alamos planned supercomputing site in Ypsilanti Township. So, Paul, officials there cite the massive water demands that are tied to these kinds of operations. Opponents say facilities can require millions of gallons of water each day and produce substantial wastewater that then has to be carefully treated.
You know, whoever figures this out first is going to be a superstar city or county or state, because there's no question that supercomputers and data centers and all of that are the future. I mean, that's unavoidable unless somebody comes up with a better idea that I'm not aware of, and they haven't yet. But I'm wondering if the rejection by the community is similar to the rejection of things in our past that we finally came around and figured out how to do. I remember when they wanted to put windmills, when windmills were in favor, they wanted to put windmills in, and people who were all for power and regenerating power and reusable power and all the stuff that whatever they say, said, oh, yeah, we need that. And then they said, well, we're going to put a windmill in your backyard. What? No, you're not. I'm wondering if we go back to 102 years ago when radio stations wanted to put, only WJR is 102 years old, but radio stations wanted to put radio towers in fields or backyards. And I wonder if people then said, whoa, what are you doing? No way. Do you? I mean, I don't expect you to know because you were so little back then.
I completely agree. Is this, you know, just the same song, second verse? However, I think in this case, some real serious modifications have to be made to some of these plans to really get municipalities and residents to sign on to this, because there's some real concerns about the grid, the electricity,
the water.
All of that. I mean, these are, and I think these are basically unanswered questions, and people feel a little push.
The first people to come up with some answers, like we can use the water again, or we this, or they can have their own little nuclear power plant on location. But I love your line, same song, second verse. Always a pleasure, Marie. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Marie Osborne here with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Hour number two of Paul W. Smith and Focus on what some people call Hump Day. Woo-hoo! You know, it's so much fun because I can see everything going on. And Danielle went, wah! And went diving for the button to make sure that she got the guy on there. So that was all good. It was beautiful. She's the queen of the switches, Danielle Mason, or Danielle, as I sometimes call her. Mike Parsons, or Mikey, as I sometimes call him, is our executive producer. And Rich Luzinski, what do I usually call Rich? The Richmeister.
Yes.
I haven't called him that in a while. He's in charge of our WJR traffic and weather first and doing a great job. Relentless Positive Radio, we're all trying to do that. As you're on your way to making each and every day count, because you know each day is a gift. And Kim reminds us, every day, QTR, quality time remaining. We don't know how much we have, so make the best of it. If you're not living the life you always thought you'd live, change. Make those changes now. It's never too late. It's never too early. Just don't lie on your deathbed going, wow, I wish I would have done this or that. I mean, just don't. And nobody ever has been on their deathbed saying, geez, I wish I would have spent more time at work. I just don't think you ever heard it. And thanks, by the way, for being an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Don't take it just from me. Take it from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, who have once again proclaimed this radio station you're listening to and we are proud to be a part of, WJR, the best, period. That's it. I don't know. Is there a better way to put that, Mike Parsons? I don't think so. That's
station of the year again.
Station of the year. Yeah. All very good. Here's some news that's just coming over while we're on the air that's intriguing. That Jaguar, you like the way I say that? Jaguar is partnering with Stellantis. Cool.
Who did they used to be under the umbrella of? Or are they completely independent?
Are you talking about Jaguar? By an Indian company.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what the Indian company is called. I talked about it.
But it wasn't a subsidiary of the other big three or whatever.
No, they were spun off from, well, Ford used to have Jaguar the sad vehicle, the SUVs, Range Rover, that can't shake the reputation of being junk after relatively short period of time for the kind of money you're spending for that thing, they apparently just don't hold up well, or at least they didn't. I don't know if they fixed that yet or not. I wish them well, and maybe under the guidance of Stellantis, they will fix that, and it'll become another, again, both of those become premier brands that they should be. And I think Jaguar went off the deep end with some weird advertising campaign a couple years ago, and I think, maybe I have it wrong, but I don't think so. They like chased away every potential regular Jaguar customer they would have, thinking they were going to create a whole new series or subset
right.
series of Jaguar owners, and it didn't work. But, man, that used to be such a special car. I'll never forget, I think it was Brian McMahon, who celebrates his birthday on St. Patrick's Day, which is perfect for a good Irishman, and usually comes with us to the St. Patrick show. But I think his was maybe, well, I had an uncle years ago who raced cars and had a Jaguar. But this, I remember getting in his Jaguar and going, wow, this is really something. Because the British touch to that vehicle back then, this is a lot, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was a beautifully, I can't put into words.
Engineered, just, manufactured.
Yeah. With all the right materials, it was just gorgeous. It was gorgeous. And I don't know whatever happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I always saw it as a fancy car, you know, a luxury brand.
Absolutely,
kind of like
a fancy
BMW
luxury car.
Or a,
Absolutely. So anyway, that story came from Car and Driver, I guess, came on my phone. Meanwhile, it'll be fascinating to see what happens. And I wish them well.
It's good to have Jag back under one of the big three umbrellas here.
Yeah, it is. If it is. I mean, I don't exactly know what their agreement is. It's a big deal. Let's see, a couple of other things here.
You know, Paul, there's new info on that story we talked about the woman who fell down an open manhole in New York.
Yeah, I have that in my list of things that you also sent. And the idea that a heavy truck, may have gone over the manhole, and they say it's rare, but it can happen. A heavy vehicle can displace the manhole.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was nighttime. I guess the last I heard was like 11:30 at night, and maybe she just couldn't see. But they say she stepped out of her car, took one step forward, and was gone.
Yeah.
Went down the thing. And the heat down there apparently caused her to have a heart attack or, I don't know, something.
I think it was cardiac arrest.
Cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
It's just horrible, which, of course, led the dad to send a note to the daughter, Sophie, and say, please be careful when you're walking around the city.
Yeah, I mean, what a random freak accident. I have never been getting out of my car thinking I'd better watch out for open manhole covers, and this woman probably never crossed her mind either.
No, but I'll tell you something. Since I am the world's worst worrier, and I worry for things so you don't have to, this reminds me of the guy who hits the elevator button and doesn't pay attention when the doors open, steps in, and there's no elevator there, and he goes plunging to his death. I think about it every time I get on an elevator. I make sure that the elevator is actually there.
Right. Because you step in just taking for granted that it's there.
You could be reading your phone, or like most people are now, and you just go, oh, well, the elevator's here, and you step off, and you're done.
Right.
So being the worrier that I am, I worry about all that. Let me give the good news now, an hour past the embargo, because I gave it at 12:05. And this is great news. Mackinac Island has been named the number one best summer travel destination in the 2026 USA Today 10 Best Reader's Choice Travel Award Contest for the fourth year in a row. And we made the determination, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up to Mackinac next week and broadcast Wednesday and Thursday from Mackinac Island to celebrate this wonderful thing. We'll be at a beautiful award-winning Grand Hotel. And while we're there, we may as well cover Sandy Baru Oz, a Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference. What do you say?
That sounds good. Maybe we can get some guests on up there, make it a thing.
There'll be some good guests, I'm sure. It's a great event, and Kim and I are looking forward to being there. I don't know if you know this, but we're going together. Do you know this yet? Yes, we're road tripping, and we're going together, and we'll have Leo, which is what people call him. I call him Leif Hermoos from Metro Cars. That's going to help us up there. It's not the same as a Penske Jet, which I was lucky enough to do for years because I was emceeing a great event, but I don't do that anymore. But it's the big event before the races, the grand premiere, which is coming up a week from this Friday. Anyway, there's a lot going on in WJR's smack dab in the middle of it, which is why we're the number one station. By the way, it's WJR's Tim McGraw VIP experience, your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show Guitar Tour to Pine Knob Music Theater August 28th. You could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of before-mentioned Metro cars, and $100 to Buddy's Pizza. Yummy. To enter, download the free WJR mobile app. Find the secret keyword, then text it to 800-859-0957. Again, download the free WJR mobile app. Find the secret keyword, then text it to 800-859-0957. For more information, visit WJR.com. It's 114. On your way to Macon, each and every day count. Each day is a gift, and we understand that and appreciate it. We all need to be reminded from time to time. It's sometimes say, why don't we have a say in who becomes the Attorney General or the Secretary of State? Well, there are people who are not just asking the question, they want to do something about it. And we have both sides, Republican and Democrat, represented in this next conversation. Jason Rowe is strategic. Hello, Jason. Nice to have you here.
LW, good to be back.
And you invited your friend, who happens to be from a different party, Lon Johnson, former chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Lon, nice to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Jason, I'm going to ask you, Lon, I'm going to ask you to be a little closer to your microphone. And Jason, I'm going to ask you to tell us what Voters Not Insiders ballot drive is all about. Explain it to us.
Well, Paul W., a lot of Michigan voters don't even realize that they don't participate in a primary election for their respective parties to choose the nominees for Attorney General, Secretary of State, the Supreme Court, Michigan State, University of Michigan, Wayne State boards, as well as the State Board of Education. Those nominations are chosen by political insiders at the annual conventions. And so millions of Michigan voters are excluded from the process of choosing the representative of their party that would go on to be on the ballot in November. We're one of just three states in the entire country that still have this very antiquated system. And Lon and I, who have known each other a few years casually, got together a couple weeks ago and talked about the momentum being there to fix this flaw in our system. So we have been engaging with former party chairs, former governors of both parties, as well as leadership and members of the state legislature, both parties, both chambers, to ask the legislature to put Attorney General and Secretary of State on the primary ballot so that all of us have an opportunity to choose those nominees.
All right. Well explained, Jason wrote. I'll ask you, Lon Johnson, has it always been this way in Michigan? And if not, how did this come about?
Well, it's been that way since 1963. It's been the parties are constrained here. They're just following the Michigan Constitution. That was the way it was written in 63, and the parties have the obligation to nominate those candidates. So what we're trying to do is to have a constitutional change and giving the voters the opportunity to choose their own nominees versus, you know, special interests and insiders. At a convention held, you know, once every 2 years on a weekend.
Well, I would think if given the opportunity, gentlemen, that, as you say, not everyone even thinks about this, but if now you're laying it out there for them, that you would have almost 100% backing on something like this, except from some politicos who like the power of choosing over the people.
Well, you nailed it, Paul W. We did polling 2 years ago. Jamie Rowe and I started talking about this all the way back in 23. And when we did the poll, 80% of voters support putting this on the primary ballot, these offices specifically, only 9% opposition. 62% strongly support. And for those that think that maybe the more partisan members of the two parties would feel differently. It has overwhelming support for MAGA Republicans and Sanders Democrats. And so I think there is a real sense amongst the electorate that they should have a say in choosing who represents them in these constitutional offices and not the party insiders and special interests.
So Lon Johnson, former chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, along with Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, who you just heard. Lon, what's next? What's the procedure? Is this possible within the foreseeable future? Is this one of those long term? We're going to have to wait a long time for this to happen if it does happen.
No, I mean it's a quite straightforward process. It's three steps. One, legislation has to be written. Ballot language has to be written by the State House and the State Senate. Two, the State House and State Senate must approve this by a supermajority. And three, once it's approved, it then goes before the voters this November for them to vote on.
Oh, that's
so
quick.
It's a three-step process. Now we're putting together the coalition to make those steps possible.
Well, it just seems to me that Michigan would certainly benefit from changing how these candidates are nominated. People would have a hand in this. And as far as the governing boards at, say, Wayne State, University of Michigan, Michigan State, they're appointed. These are trustees and regents. They're appointed by the governor. And
No, they're actually not. They are chosen at convention and then placed on the ballot in November. So there is a proposal that's floating around to phase in an appointment process. That's not something that we're involved in, but we do know that
idea is a new one that some people are saying they want the trustees appointed by the governor.
Yeah, what's being talked about by some folks is that a governor would appoint and it would have a Senate confirmation. So just like a, you know, federal government cabinet position, they would go through a similar process, nomination and Senate confirmation.
Okay. Well, it's fascinating. And I'm glad the two of you representing the two major parties are working together on this. And I you said 80% of the people, when they understood what was going on, were backing you, but nothing has happened. But now it looks like you guys are making sure voters, not insiders, with this ballot drive are going to make something happen. What should we the people do next? You go ahead.
Contact your state legislators and encourage them to support this. I think, you know, ultimately this is going to be in the hands of our state legislators. And so anyone that feels strongly about this, please call your member of the state Senate or the state House and encourage them to support it.
Lon, last word from you.
Well, I would echo exactly what Jason just said. You know, it's common sense here. Anytime you open up the process, the better the system performs.
Both sides of the aisle coming together, bipartisan-like. Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic. Lon Johnson, former chairman of the Michigan Democrat Party. Voters, not insiders, ballot drive for Attorney General, Secretary of State, and some other offices we've talked about. And they're working together to get this done. Wanted you to know about it as we continue in focus at 128. So glad we are, in fact, here together. It looks a little grayish, stormish. We'll see what happens here. Keeping on top of the news and the great job that Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard and the men and women in the Oakland County Sheriff Department after a carjacking and shooting in, of all places, Orion Township. A man on probation shot a mother in front of her young son yesterday outside of an Old Navy store in Orion Township. Deputies responded to the store in the Baldwin Common Plaza, and unbelievably, in less than 2 hours, the suspect was in custody. Sheriff Michael Bouchard, you never cease to amaze me at the good work that you and your people do.
Well, I appreciate it. We got a great team. You know, that was all hands on deck. The Orion Township sub, all the detectives, all the patrol deputies raced there. And they called me immediately about what was going on. And given how it was playing out, I ordered all sorts of specialty units to head that way. Our fugitive apprehension team, our special investigations, our auto theft, our helicopters, our drones, our dogs, our crime scene. You know, this is the kind of thing that we just can't accept in a civil society, and we needed to find this guy fast, in my opinion, and thankfully that happened.
Well, you did a tremendous job. I salute everybody involved in law enforcement for the great job they did. There was an expression used, or an item that I'm not totally familiar with. I'd like you to describe or explain it to me. A flock camera?
Yes.
What does that mean, a flock camera?
So that's a brand name, but it's kind of like Kleenex or tissue. There's a thing called LPRs. They're license plate readers. They're around in different communities. They've become controversial in some communities, not so much in others, because, you know, a lot of the communities understand what an amazing tool they are for crimes that just occurred, crimes in progress. They're not a surveillance tool that, you know, people have been talking about. What they're used for is when you're looking for a particular car or person, they give you a pointer. They don't even tell you who's in the car, or you can't even see in the car. You just get a direction of travel. And without that information, we had nothing. I mean, nothing on this guy. He was wearing a mask, and as it turned out, he's not even from Oakland County, and he was headed north, away from where he's even living. So that would have, you know, been another kind of wrench on trying to figure out who this random person was that randomly attacked this poor innocent victim and her young son and shot her in a parking lot in Orion, which is a super safe community. But thankfully, that LPR, that flock camera, gave us a direction of travel of her stolen car. And so we flooded the direction where he was headed, shared that information with our partners in that area, our different law enforcement agencies, to be looking for this car. And in fact, it was spotted. And a short chase ensued. He crashed, bailed out. We set up a perimeter, sent our drones out, sent our helicopter, our dogs, and one of our undercover plainclothes auto theft detectives actually saw him in that contained area and took him into custody.
Wow. That's amazing. And I don't know how anybody could be against any of the technology that you used, whether it's a license plate reader or anything else. In my opinion, if you're not doing something wrong or breaking the law, you really shouldn't worry about these tools that the sheriffs and every other law enforcement agency can use to grab these people quickly.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's specifically used, and there's all sorts of, we understand and agree 100%. There should be very rigid guardrails around its usage and the information, who owns it, when it's shared. We have very strict policies on that. We're very jealously protecting everybody's rights, including the Fourth Amendment. The time you look at it is when you just had something serious happen and you're looking for a particular kind of car, a particular car. This gives you a direction, gives you a pointer, just a tip. So like somebody on the side of the road. Back in the old days, people don't know this, that haven't been around policing a long time. When you had a similar case in the old days, you would get a radio call as an officer on patrol with a code number and a code name, and it would send you to an intersection to watch for that car. So this is just a tech version of that and allows us to solve and take very violent criminals off the street in short order.
God bless you. Now, the woman was hospitalized, lost a lot of blood, but you're optimistic she's going to be okay.
We're very hopeful and optimistic. Lucky. I mean, when you shoot somebody, she did lose a lot of blood. I was on scene and I was at the hospital. But we're keeping her in our prayers, and we're hopeful she makes a full recovery. But we have to see how the medical professionals let us know on that.
And the 25-year-old arrested was actually on probation for another case involving assault with intent to do great bodily harm. Is that correct?
Yes, and I'm going to talk more about that at 2 o'clock. This is another example, Paul W., where someone was on the street that shouldn't have been. When the details of what he did, that he was on probation, served no prison time for, it will make your absolute hair curl. You won't believe it.
My hair's curling already. 2 o'clock. Where are you speaking at 2 o'clock?
At sheriff's office.
Okay. You'll have a press conference and
yes.
Okay. Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard, another job done well with all of his team and the surrounding area law enforcement, but we don't want them to have to do these good jobs. We want to try to avoid them. We say it again and again. If something seems odd or off, if you see something, say something, do something. And the do something is not jumping in yourself. It's calling the authorities. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
You do the same. Keep up the good work and be safe as we continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR at 143. Well, you know, this coming week, we are going to be heading to Mackinac Island and beautiful Grand Hotel. Sandy Baru Oz, Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference, will be there broadcasting Wednesday and Thursday. I think JR Mornings will be there as well. And so we're looking forward to that. And then a week from this, what is today, Wednesday? Oh, a week from this Friday, it will be PwC Grand Premiere presented by Chevrolet at the department at Hudson's. And that's a wonderful event that raises money for so many good causes. I used to MC it for years. Dan Miller has taken over now from Fox 2 Detroit. He does a great job, and I hope to see you there. You can get information at DetroitGP.com about that and the elevated rooftop fan experience and everything else that's going on at this very important Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix presented by Lear. And I congratulate Ray Scott, Team Scott, at Lear for celebrating their own notable date, 10 years as a presenting sponsor of the Detroit Grand Prix. So that is coming up very soon, and WJR will be covering it. We'll be all over it, May 29th through the 31st. Now, looking, if you want to make notations on your calendar very quickly, Season of Sparkle, the Capuchin Super Summer Celebration from our good friends at Ahe Jewelers. That's going to be Saturday, June 13th, an exciting evening of celebration at Comerica Park, held in benefit of the Capuchin Soup Kitchen. I would suggest you stop into Ahe's or go online and get more information. The things they've donated that you can buy raffle tickets for, it's just incredible. Just truly incredible. Tickets can be purchased by phone or in person at Edmund T. Ahe Jewelers on Mack Avenue. Their number 313-886-4600, 313-886-4600. And then Tony Michaels, the Wizard of Oz and Ooze, reminds us that, my goodness gracious, the 2026 Ford fireworks coming up, Detroit, go for launch on Monday, June 22nd at 10 p.m. I think we'll be on the air, I think, 7, what is it, Mike, 7 to 9:30 or 40, or I don't know what it is. There, we'll have the countdown on the air of the, I see your lips moving, but I can't hear you. But so it's June 22nd, 10 p.m., produced by Tony Michaels and the parade company, the Ford Fireworks Kickoff Summer. Do I have anything else? Well, that's enough for right now. They just indicted Raul Castro. I'm not sure. I'm not on top of this. I'm not going to pretend I'm on top of it, but it seems kind of odd that they're going to spend all this time and money to get a guy who should probably, sadly, I mean, it's not good for anyone to die, but he's probably going to die of old age before all of this happens or is through. But they're making a big deal of it on the news right now. I just haven't been able to hear them. They're doing like they've got somebody in Havana and they got somebody in Miami, which is like Havana, and deciding what to do. Now, can you talk yet? Can I hear you?
Can you hear me now?
I can now. Did you go into this story about China's Xi giving Putin a red carpet welcome? The kids were choreographed differently, but the kids were all there with their flags. They just weren't jumping up and down. It gave Xi the red carpet welcome, and it says that Xi or Putin, one of them, made a veiled jab at the U.S. Do you know anything about that, the details?
I don't know much about the veiled jab, but, I mean, it's Putin's over there pretty quickly after Trump's summit.
Yeah, well, they said he was coming, and indeed he did. So everybody's trying to get China's attention and wants China on their side. This is bizarre, but, you know, I kind of expected this. Well, this is a Texas man arrested after intentionally driving his Cybertruck into a lake to test the Wade mode. I didn't know there was a Wade mode on a Cybertruck because there's less than a chance in hell that I would ever buy a Cybertruck.
Right.
So well, speaking of hell, hell is for sale. And it's for sale for $625,000. And I shouldn't say this on the air because someone will do it and become millionaires or billionaires, and we should do it. But we should buy hell and turn it into a data center-friendly town.
Actually, that's a good idea.
Just buy it for – offer them $400,000. And buy it and then turn around and sell it to one of these data centers for a few million bucks, and they own the town. They can do whatever they want to do, maybe.
You know, I wonder if the original price was $666,000 and they've had to knock it down.
Good one. Good play on the devil there. I don't know, but I can't believe it's not worth $625,000. Have they used up all of the T-shirt sales that say, for example, I've been to hell and back? Things like that. I mean, you would think you could make 600 grand plus.
Have you ever been to hell, Michigan, Paul?
I think one way or another, I've either been to hell or I've been through hell. But I don't remember for sure. Coming up, it's JR Afternoon, the one and only Ryan Ermani. And I know you're ready to go, Ryan.
Paul, I am. I cannot wait. We've got some activity on the building, though. They're doing construction, and it's very loud in studio. But I am going to talk louder today. How about that?
Well, you can do that because you're very loud anyway. And I promise when I'm there fulfilling my contract of washing all the windows in the Fisher Building, I promise you I will be quiet.
Deal.
It's JR Afternoon, the one and only Ryan Ermani coming up next. Meanwhile, you make it a great rest of the day, and we'll look forward to spending Thursday with you from noon to 2. You can go to the podcast at WJR.com. Regards, Paul W. Smith.